This is the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of the lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is going to focus on some teachers at the upper school with our curriculum specialist, Arielle Kennedy, and a new upper school teacher, Julie Howell. They're going to be talking about the onboarding process, what it was like coming into a new school setting for Julie, and how Arielle works with the lower school curriculum specialist, Katie Murren, in setting up activities for our new teachers to get acclimated to the school, and then how curriculum is put together and all of the things that come with being at a new school system. So at this time, we join our podcast with Arielle Kennedy, Julie Howell, and your host, Kendall Terry. We'd like to welcome to the podcast this morning, Arielle and Julie. Arielle is our upper school curriculum specialist, and Julie Howe is one of our new math hires for the high school or upper school staff. And so we wanted to bring both of you on this morning to talk about this new process in this new year. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks. It's great to be back.
And I want to give Julie a chance to kind of introduce herself. You've heard Arielle before on the podcast if you've listened to other episodes. And so we want to give Julie a chance to just introduce herself to the listening audience and tell us a little bit about kind of your journey to CBA.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me. I come to CBA through an interesting path. I have two little kids, and so my original thought was looking for a preschool. And I came across this website. One of our good friend's daughter was transferring away due to location, not they love CBA. And so I'm sitting here thinking, well, there's an opening for the pre-K. And I started looking into it, and I was like, oh my goodness, how have I not heard about this school before? This is the school of my dreams. And I'm looking at the website, and my husband and I are both teachers, so money-wise, tuition might have been a little hard. And I was like, you know, I'm a math teacher. I wonder if they're hiring. So I click on the employment, and lo and behold, there is one opening, and it was a high school math position, which is what I teach. And I just really felt moved, and it felt like one of those, I need to apply for this. And I applied that night. The next day got a call back and had an awesome phone call interview with Arielle, and had a interview lined up for Monday, and by Wednesday was hired.
Yeah. And yeah, I think I remember some of that conversation in that hiring process, because you did kind of come in near the end of that hiring process, so you barely, you know, you barely got in front of the cut.
I'm very, very thankful it happened when it happened.
That's right. And it's funny, that's actually happened multiple times with hires of, you know, you go through this long hiring process, and Arielle, you've been on that end of interviewing people, and it's like, you know, you're kind of getting to that point where you're having to make a decision, and then all of a sudden this candidate like comes into the email and you're going, this person has all of the things, you know, that we're looking for. We've got to at least interview them and see how that goes. And so that's awesome. And it's your story of how you got here as a staff member. It might feel unique, but it's actually shared by a lot of our staff members here. Just a couple weeks ago on the podcast, we were interviewing Lauren White, our new upper school guidance counselor. And it was kind of the exact same story. You know, I was coming by to see, you know, about getting my kids here. We were doing a tour, and I heard that there was a position for the counseling job, and that's what my degree is in. And so sometimes it's just a nice natural fit, and things get worked out. And so that's a pretty cool process there. So as you accepted the position and then kind of started that onboarding process, that can be a little challenging to come into a culture like CBA, where there's a very unique vocabulary that a lot of people use. There's a very unique culture as far as the pre-K through 12th grade being all together as many times as we are together. That's kind of atypical, especially for high school teachers to experience that. I know, coming from high school myself, that rarely did I concern myself with anything past like ninth grade. Like, you know, I had ninth through 12th grade was what the focus was, other than just needing to know what they were getting in middle school and making sure they were ready. And so the uniqueness of CBA, that can present kind of its own challenges. And so Ariel, to go to you on this, what are some things when you're looking at that, we're talking about onboarding, you and Katie Murren, the lower school curriculum specialist, take on that role of how do we train our, how do we do professional development, how do we bring our new staff on board? What's going through kind of your head as you kind of plan that out?
Yeah, so there are a lot of things that go into making sure that all of our new teachers have everything they need to be successful here. We've talked before that we say that our process is a 3 to 5 year process, and it's like drinking from a fire hose. And so our goal is to make sure maybe that fire hose isn't turned on full blast. And so we do a couple of different things. One of the first things we do is we set up every new teacher with a mentor. And for us, there's actually a quote by Daniel Levinson, who's a professor of psychology at Yale. And he says, in the most basic form, a mentor is simply a friendship with someone who is a little more experienced, who acts as a guide in regard to a new career, profession, or job. And so that's our goal when we're setting up these mentors, is we're just trying to give every new teacher a professional friendship, which here at CBA, a lot of times is also going to develop into a personal friendship as well, because we're just such a tight-knit community.
Yeah.
And so every teacher gets a one-on-one mentor. And so for Julie, your mentor is Dr. Jen Bruce, who has been my mentor in the past as well. So yeah, it's kind of a full circle there. Every teacher gets paired with our curriculum specialist. We meet weekly, we meet monthly, yearly, we meet all the time. But it also starts with our new teacher academy. And so that is 2 days of just new teachers with their mentor and the curriculum specialist and the principals, and one-on-one meetings with the business office. And they get to meet our custodial staff or some of our coaches, because we know it's so much here and we want them to see familiar faces when they get here. We want them to maybe be a little bit more prepared, but we just want them to feel comfortable. And that's our biggest goal when it comes to new teachers at CBA.
And that's really the same goal that we have for students, right? That we tell our teachers all the time, the most important thing you can do is build relationships. And that's a different way of looking at education for a lot of people. It's, yeah, most teachers kind of have it in their head that the first day or so of school is going to be some procedures and getting to know things. But we tell our staff that the most important thing they can do is build relationships. And if that means you have to put content on hold for a couple of class periods, a week, whatever it is, build relationships first. And that's why if you walk around our campus that first week or so of school, you're seeing a lot of kids interacting with other kids in a way to build those relationships peer to peer. You're seeing staff interacting with those kids in relationships so that we're building those strong connections. And so we even do that with our new teachers. That new teacher academy, yeah, there's a lot of things that we're trying to introduce, but the whole goal in reality is let's get people to start building relationships now before everybody shows up that next week, right? Because once everybody shows up and we start into all kinds of required trainings, you know, you've got nurse trainings where you're watching videos and doing things that nobody wants to watch and think about happening. You know, you're talking about all kinds of school procedures and all this. And in that setting, sometimes it's harder to build those relationships. So having that chance to build those relationships in that first couple of days, very important. So, Julie, what was that like for you? I know there's probably a ton of things that were going through your head at that time, but when you reflect back to that new teacher academy, those 2 days, what was that experience like for you?
I think, excuse me, I have heard the phrase, you're drinking from a fire hose, a lot, and being partnered with Dr. Bruce has made it so that that is not the case. Like, I understand how someone that came in that had to create their own materials and had to start from nothing, that absolutely would be an overwhelming process. But Dr. Bruce is brilliant and has planned out every single math course with standards for every single quarter. And it is laid out in such a way that anyone could step in that knows the math material,
right,
and could teach it. And it is beautifully laid out to the point that I feel like I fit right in. And I got to know Dr. Bruce, and I think we just had immediate rapport. And it was something where we are laughing together as we're working on, you know, maybe we need to do the pacing this way, or start with this concept instead of this concept. And it's been going great.
Yeah. Well, and I've been, you know, with Jen from the very beginning here at CBA because I was originally on the science partner to the math position. And you're exactly right. You know, she has that math brain really comes in full circle, right, with looking at content, planning that out. And then the thing that I love about our math sequence, and Ariel, you've been a part of this as well, is it's regularly reflected on. And like you said, do we need to change this sequence? Does it make more sense to move this over here and teach this over there? And I think that that does amazing things for our kids in trying to understand math content. You know, we talked a lot last year with our staff about math is like a foreign language, especially at the high school level, whenever you're expecting them to do these complex formulas and calculations that it's no longer enough just to know your multiplication tables or, you know, how to divide or order of operations. Now, like, you have to start really putting all this together to make this thing make sense. And it's a whole vocabulary to use. And so the sequence that Dr. Bruce and Ariel, like I said, I know you were a part of that at one time, Mr. Lay as well, and what he has brought to the table and now what you have brought to the table. And I love that about our math sequence, that it's constantly being worked on and looked at in that way. And Ariel, that's really our whole idea with what we do with professional development. When we're asking our teachers to build curriculum, to use standards, to constantly go back and say, what do we need to change here? And so when you're thinking about that and hearing even Julie talk about how she kind of walked into this, what kind of goes through your head? Because that may be different, a little bit different than what you walked into, because you walked into something a little bit newer than what Julie is walking into.
Yeah, so when I first got here to CBA, I guess 8 years ago now, we were still like building that math curriculum. And so building, I mean, it takes a little bit longer, but I love that idea of what you're saying, Kendall, about changing things. I mean, because that's our goal here. We want to reimagine education. So if we can't reimagine our math curriculum, then why are we here? And so, and a lot of that also goes into the idea of mentorship and professional development. If we can't reimagine our professional development, then we're not doing what we say we're going to do for our students. Like, we pride ourselves on individualized instructions with our students. Well, that's what mentoring is. It is individualized instructions for our new teachers. I mean, it's unrealistic to expect our teachers to go from workshop to full-blown implementation without a mentor, without strategic design groups, without coaching groups. Our entire staff are doing book studies this year, all about the brain. So they picked a book. Maybe they teach middle schoolers, so they're reading a book about Attack of the Teenage Brain.
Yeah.
Or instead, they're reading Brain Rules by John Medina for our lower school students. And so that is huge for what we do. And it is all about change. Katie Murn and I were sitting down with Linda Jordan, an amazing consultant we have here at CBA, with our mentors last week, training our mentors how to be mentors for our mentees, for our new teachers. And a couple of them said, well, after talking, because this is our second year of our new teacher academy, they said, after talking with my mentee, I think we need to change this for next year. I'm like, okay. So we started a document, and we have an entire document of everything we need to change for next year to make sure our new teachers are getting what they need. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about reimagining that.
And that's actually what question I was getting ready to ask you on that other side was, like, what are some things you're doing this year with professional development in that vein? And you already hit on that. And we are constantly changing that with professional development, hearing from staff, but looking at our mission and vision of our school to say, what are we trying to make sure our teachers are knowing and focusing on and learning? And so that really drives our professional development. So when you hear us talk about professional development, we're kind of a unique setting of, we release our students on Wednesdays at 1:30 so that we can do 2 hours of professional development every week. And that is not a just setting in faculty meetings every week. Whenever I came in as a new hire and I was told, hey, you Wednesdays, we're going to do 2 hours of professional development. In my head, because I was going to pass experience, I was going to, like, I can't do 2 hours every week of faculty meetings.
The torture in the library,
right?
Let me tell you.
It's always in the library at the high school. I don't know why. I don't know what your experience has been, Julie, but it seems like it's always in the library. Everybody comes in and sets in their quadrants, you know, their departments. And
the library's always stuffy, too, unfortunately.
And you don't get good vision. You know, it's like you're kind of, you're able to hide. And I always thought it was funny of watching people react whenever you sat in the wrong department. You know, if you sat down with a group of math teachers and you're the science teacher, you got some interesting looks from people.
And you took someone's seat.
You did, yeah. And so somebody's coming by expecting you to get up when they show up. You can sit there and chat for a minute, but you need to leave when it's time for the meeting. And so I was going, man, if this is what we're doing for 2 hours every week, that's going to be a lot. That's going to be a lot. And but quickly I learned that's not what our professional development is about. It's about growing, for me as an individual, and hearing what's happening, even listening to if maybe it's a presentation on something they're doing in the lower school on math, and I'm sitting as a high school teacher listening to this going, if nothing else, I'm understanding more about what's happening at that level and the strategies they're using. And many times those strategies then can be incorporated into something I'm doing. And it's like, yeah, they're using that for second grade math, but that strategy, I could see some benefit here, or I could see some crossover. And so that idea of let's grow professionally, we start with an energizer for a while. We had a pattern of an observation, and then a later on in the PD, we had somebody do a short presentation about something related to brain research because we want our staff to constantly reflect on that. And you guys have changed that a little bit this year and included some book stuff as well. And so that looking, once again, we're always saying, how can we make this better? How can we make sure that our staff is continuing to focus on what we think is important for them in growing professionally and being a better teacher? Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. Just like as a teacher, sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. And when you get it wrong, you back up and say, okay, we missed that one. You know, that we need to throw that out for next year, like you were saying, and say, okay, well, what can we do this year to make it better? And I think when you have that kind of environment, that's the environment then that allows you to continue to grow and develop and be better. And so some of the people that are being hired in now don't have some of the experiences that we went through as we've been learning and growing. But those learning and growing experiences, not that they were wrong, that's part of that learning process. It's kind of like what we say with students of, it's okay to fail. It's okay to get something wrong. It's okay to say, I thought this way, and now I realize I need to think this way over here, because that's how you learn. If you show up in a class and you do it all right every time you walk in the door, what have you learned? You know, not much, right?
I think one of my favorite parts of my onboarding where I signed the document that I'm going to teach here is Pat Bradley sat down, she looked me in the eye, and she said, now go make some mistakes.
Yeah.
And I just had this moment of like, I'm talking to Miss Frizzle, because I love the make mistakes.
Yep.
You learn from your mistakes. And that is a quote that I have been reculturing myself to, because I was raised as a perfectionist.
Yep.
And I don't want to be that person that forces perfection, because I do believe that the messiness of mistakes is how we learn. And so coming in and having the head person say that to me was like the most freeing experience of, yes, let's go make some mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And that is truly a belief in Pat Bradley and in myself as well, of just, if we're all going to learn, then we're going to make some mistakes along the way. I know early on in my teaching career, I was always afraid of a kid asking me a question that I didn't know an answer to. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like I needed to be the, you know, for lack of a better term, I felt like I needed to be the smartest person in the room. You know, if they asked a question that their teacher didn't know, then why is their teacher teaching the class? And as I got into teaching and actually started really falling in love with this learning process, it was like, I hope my kids can ask me a question that I don't know the answer to, because that means they're thinking. You know, if they're only asking a question that I know the answer to, that means I've probably thought about what they were going to ask, and they're just doing what another class has done before them. And in science, you know, they're doing the little lab that everything turns blue or everything turns green if you did it right. And it's like, so for people to actually ask that question that goes beyond that color change, or goes beyond the what everybody knows is going to happen, and as a teacher to say, let's look this up. Like, let's try to figure this out. Let's see if we can answer this question, because I don't know the answer to that question, helps your even students get that idea of like, hey, it's okay. My teacher's not supposed to be the one that knows everything. They're supposed to help me in this learning journey. And then a lot of times those are the questions that help everybody in the class go further and learn more. And it's exciting to have those students that are willing to throw out those kind of crazy questions that, that then we can look at and say, let's dig a little deeper here and see if we can figure this thing out.
So my first week here looked extraordinarily different than the public school setting. And I have an example that ties into what you said. So I am used to, in the first week, getting asked the question, why am I doing this? Why does this matter? Is this for a grade? And it just being a very, like, meant to stop the instruction. And those are the questions that I was used to having to field with a classroom of 33-ish students. I come here, I have not been asked that question in the first month and a half-ish we've been here.
Oh, wow.
And in the first week, I had a student ask a question that blew my mind because we were doing our vertex form of a quadratic equation, which has the formula y equals a times x minus h squared plus k. And we had been plugging in and playing around, letting them self-discover what the different pieces do to the parabola. And one of the questions was, well, why is this a minus? What if I put a plus here? And they started, like, asking me deeper questions. And I'm like, I love that you're asking.
That's
honestly
awesome.
I don't know where we derived this from. I can go look that up and let's talk about that. And so it's turned into them getting to play with it in Desmos, where they can see, they can plug in a negative, they can change the equation and realize, oh, well, if I change this and I add a square on the y, we no longer have a parabola. This changed the shape. And their excitement about learning is beyond what I've gotten to experience. And it just makes me fall in love with CBA even more.
That's a great story. And it really fits this idea of our mission says that we're trying to create students that can think critically and problem solve. And so if you're not putting an environment where they can ask that question and then take time to explore that answer, then we're not creating critical thinkers and problem solvers. And I have been in settings where that question would have just been like a teacher, you know, kind of pass that off of, you know, maybe we'll see that later or we'll get to that next month or whatever. And by the time then you get to it, that kid has moved on, right? Like that's no longer something that they're thinking about or worried about. And so you've missed that interest point where they were actually excited to look at this and see how is this different. But if you don't take advantage of that as a teacher in the moment, then it's passed. And teenagers, you know, very quickly, right? I mean, anybody that has a teenager out there knows that their attitude and mood changes pretty quick. And so if they're excited about exploring something math, we got to explore this for a second because in a couple minutes that might be changed. And it's no longer interesting, right? And it's no longer something they want to do. So it's being able to do that. So I love that example. Thank you. Just last week, we had Linda Jordan here, and Ariel talked a little bit about her being here. And so hopefully you had some time to sit down with Linda. Did your schedule work out for you to have a session with her?
I did. We had a session on Tuesday, and I love that she brought about information that wasn't geared towards a subject. So her focus was, again, hitting that relationship piece. But she didn't just say you need to build relationships. She brought in the statistics. And one statistic that stuck with me was if you greet your students at the door, I'm going to have to look it up. I think she said it's a 34% increase in their productivity and their desire to want to learn.
Yeah.
And the simple task of just standing at your door and saying good morning and genuinely caring about each kid. And it got me to question, like, I know I'm a new teacher, so I'm a little scrambling as I'm making sure I have all my materials ready. But I can take those couple minutes getting those materials ready once they're in my classroom after I've greeted them.
Yeah.
If it is that much of an increase, because it gets them to know I care about them. So I love that she brought information like that to the table.
You know, she does that with our staff all the time. She stays so current on, you know, different stuff that's being done in brain research and different stuff that's being done in education. And that's one of the reasons why we bring her back every quarter to work with our staff, is because she's able to speak into those things. Sometimes those things that, you know, we did at the beginning, and then as kind of the school year was going, we allow stuff to get moved off to the side because we get busy, we get behind, you know, as a teacher, you know, when you're dealing with one class coming in right after another, and you're going, oh, I need to set this up, or I got to get this on the board, or, you know, whatever may be the case. I know I did that all the time in science because I was, you know, I'm trying to close out one lab and get ready for another lab, or reset everything so that the lab is ready to go again. And you forget that simple thing of like, hey, let me go over there and just welcome people as they walk in, because my brain now is in a better place when I do that. Another thing that she does a lot with us is continues to talk about how we're aligning our curriculum. And so, Arielle, you work with our teachers regularly at the upper school side. You're also involved in the lower school side with Katie as that partner. But what does that look like for the high school side of things to say? I know, Julie, you talked about Jen has already kind of laid a lot of this out with standards and stuff. But when you're working with teachers, what is that conversation like to say, how are we incorporating standards into building curriculum, into concept boards, all of that at the high school level that can be a little sometimes interesting to think about in that way?
Yeah. So it's funny, we're talking about Linda, because something that she had said, I think a time before last, is when we're talking about, like, why do you need a curriculum specialist, or why do you need a mentor, or why do we need professional development, was a statistic that fewer than 15% of people succeed, like, going in alone. Fewer than 15%. And it's like, we can't have that here at CBA. Like, we need to make sure we have that support, because we need our teachers to succeed, because we need our students to succeed. And if it means succeeding through failure, then that's okay. Yeah. We're going to make those steps. And so I am not an expert in biology. And I know that's what you used to teach, and that's going to make you super sad.
Yeah, it hurts my heart. It does. I understand, though, because I'm also not an expert in physics.
Okay, well, I got you on that one. But what I'm going to do, say, as a curriculum specialist, is I'm going to learn all about the NGSS standards. And I'm going to learn where they come from and how to break them down and what is a DCI and what is all of the different components and what are the science and engineering practices, so that I can go and have a conversation with our biology teacher and help her figure out, based on her content expertise, what's the best way to teach that, to make sure that students actually remember it, to make sure that they're not going to ask the question of, why do I need this? Because she has figured out with biology, it's all about survival. And so everything she teaches is going to be a lens through survival. That's her concept for the year. And so my goal is to go in and help her figure out, well, what order should these standards be taught in to make it make sense for these students? Yeah. And so that's what Katie and I do, is we go into these classrooms and help them figure out what's going to make our students remember them. What's going to create that that signal in the brain? Because it's all about patterns and programs.
Yep.
And so I'll come in with the brain research side. I'll come in with a why we do this, because teachers ask the same question. Why do I have a concept board? Well, let me explain to you why we have a concept board, because that's that pattern to program, no meaning, no memory. Yep. And so my goal is to answer those questions so that maybe they won't have to answer those questions to their students.
Yeah. So, Julie, I know you said that you kind of walked in and Jen had things laid out, but you were looking at a math sequence that is different than most high school math sequences, because we don't do Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry, Trig in that order. We kind of mix and match these standards where it makes sense. So when you're looking at that, what has that experience been like for you to say, this is maybe teaching content that you've taught before, but teaching it in a slightly different way? And how has that kind of processed in your brain of how math is instruction takes place?
I love the format. My degree is in applied mathematics. I started out engineering. Was a little more mathy for the engineers. Switched to math, was a little too engineering problem solving for them, so I ended up in the applied math. And what I love about the integrated math series is it's not teaching you rote procedure. You're not memorizing, I solve this way. We are learning patterns of thinking and problem solving. And so as we pull in these tools, it makes perfect sense that I'm going to need algebra skills and geometry skills tied together to solve certain problems. So the way that it's been done, where you have algebra, then geometry, then algebra 2, you're so far removed from learning those tools that when you try to apply them, it's extremely difficult. I have loved how I can pull these skills together, and their memory of those skills is on the forefront of their brain.
Awesome.
They are recalling it so much faster because it's integrated. I'm very excited to continue as we get into more content.
Yeah. And I think that's very evident when you talk to students about math. Like we said, you know, we know that math is its own vocabulary. You know, for people that were listening to you earlier in the podcast, they heard that vocabulary coming out. You know, you started throwing out formulas, you started throwing out words that describe shapes on graphs. And depending on what they have done, you know, those words might be a word that they were like, yeah, I remember that from high school, but could they draw it or could they actually do that formula? Might not be able to, but we hope that our students have more application and the ability to kind of pull that back and from long-term memory and have a better understanding of that. And I think the sequence that we use in math lends itself to that it makes sense to learn this right now because this is when that's going to all connect, as opposed to learning this formula right now and then later on we'll apply it to this other shape or this other idea in mathematics. And so I love that. I love the way that the courses are laid out. And seeing my own kids go through it, I've seen that be very successful to them as well. And their understanding of math when they didn't always have that understanding. And so that's been exciting to watch that progression take place. So I just want to thank both of you guys for sitting down. I want to value your time. I appreciate that. This is a planning period that you gave up, Julie, to be here, and I really thank you for that. And so thank you both for sharing a little bit with the podcast this morning.
Well, thanks for having us here.
Thanks, Kendall.
This has been the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can visit us on our webpage, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media sites at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.